98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Octane Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what is going on?
Not much.
Celebrating today. Just got some news from a Twitter follower.
Breaking news? You got breaking news? Should we play the breaking news sounder?
Rolling Stone Magazine. 44 years ago today.
Oh, no.
What? I got this sent to me from a listener.
This isn't breaking news. I thought you had breaking news for me.
44 years ago today, on this date, America released Sister Golden Hair. Sister Golden Hair.
The thing about it is that when we play this song,
I just can't live without
it's like automatic. Your head's just going to start bopping. I mean, like, Gambo just hears the first couple of beats, and his head just starts to go.
Too hard to find, but it doesn't mean you ain't been out of mind.
Well, happy anniversary. Yeah, happy anniversary. This is your song. I've never had a song that I've associated with a person
more than
I have associated this song with you.
Not just the song, the band.
Well, yeah, but like Horse With No Name or some of the other catalog of America's greatest hits, none of them are as identifiable with him as this song is.
I've actually sang this with Bickley's band.
In the history of music and in the history of people, I don't think I've ever associated one song with one person.
I don't know what makes your favorite song your favorite song,
I don't know,
but this was always my favorite song.
All right, let's quick go around the table. Sarah Cazell, what's your favorite song of all time?
This up.
I genuinely do not know.
What?
I know.
You don't have a favorite song?
I don't.
I'm with Sarah on this. This is like asking what's your favorite child.
There's so many.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. You have a favorite song, I do.
I have two. I have the.
So you're in the same boat as Sarah and I.
Well, no. It's just a tie. It's a tie for first. I've got The Boys of Summer by Don Henley, and I got Wonderwall by Oasis. Those are my two favorite songs of all time. Love those songs.
Yeah.
Love those songs.
This is my favorite song. I don't know why, but this is my favorite song. 44 years ago today.
From your favorite.
Sister Golden Hair release.
From your favorite song to your favorite topic. Our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
The Kyler Murray meeting is on.
Oh, my God.
It's on.
The Murray meeting.
First reported by the Houston Chronicle, I believe, and since confirmed by multiple reports, the Arizona Cardinals are in Norman, Oklahoma, according to a source. Cliff Kingsbury is there. Steve Keim is there. This is being reported by, like I say, it started with the Houston Chronicle. I'm looking for the ESPN story right now. Source confirmed to ESPN that Kingsbury and Steve Keim are in Oklahoma today meeting with Kyler Murray. Details of that meeting have been scarce. Is it a workout? Is it a meeting? Is it a sit-down? Are they having a cappuccino at Starbucks? Are they on the grease board drawing up plays? Are they out on the field throwing the ball around? No idea. Is there going to be another one to follow? Don't know. But today is the first known meeting between Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, and Kyler Murray.
All right. We knew it was happening. Okay, so we knew this was going to happen. We knew that they were going to meet with Murray. They get to meet with 30 draft prospects at the least, plus local players like a Russell Wren doesn't count as far as your 30. But we knew that they were going to meet with him. And so this should be no surprise. It's just the day. Like, you didn't know the day. So the news is that it's today. It's in Norman, Oklahoma. You know what else is going on today? Alabama's Pro Day.
Yes.
You know who's not at Alabama's Pro Day?
Steve Keim.
Steve Keim is not at Alabama's Pro Day. You know who's got a Pro Day tomorrow? A guy named Nick Bosa, right? Ohio State tomorrow, I think. Nick Bosa?
I have not heard that.
I think it's Nick Bosa, Ohio State tomorrow. I would doubt he's going to be there. I just, you know, everybody freaked out when the Cardinals brass, their main brass, was not at Kyler Murray's pro day. The word I got back, and I checked on this, a pro days are a waste. You don't get to spend any real time with the guy. They'll wait for the meeting where you get to spend all day with them. You get 24 hours. You get lunch. You get dinner. You get breakfast. You get film study. You get everything. I mean, it's so Alabama's having their pro day today. Quinnen Williams, the whole Alabama team. I mean, I think every kid on the team's getting drafted. Even the third string guys are probably going to get drafted. They're not there. I mean, they're not there. I think it goes to show you that the not showing up, because everybody assumed, oh, they didn't show up at Kyler Murray's pro day. Oh, it's got to be a message. They must be screwing with everybody. Not me. And yet, now they're not at Alabama's pro day. And tomorrow they might not be at Nick Bosa's pro day.
And it is tomorrow. We confirmed it. It is tomorrow.
Yeah, so I just think the pro days to them are overrated. They don't care about the pro days. They care about the meetings. They got everything at the combine. They met with, you know, however many people they met with, 60 at the combine or whatever it was. And now they get their, you know, their one-on-one with Kyler Murray.
We'll never know the answer to this question. I'm going to ask it anyway because I know we won't know it. And I don't even know if they'll ever acknowledge it if they do take Kyler Murray, number one overall in the draft. But will today be the day where they'll know that that's who they're going to take?
Yes.
Will Steve Keim get on that plane, if he's not already on the plane back home, whenever he gets on that plane, comes back home?
He'll be leaving on a jet plane.
Will he know?
Yes.
Will he know, yes or no? Like, I can buy the notion that they don't know right now. All right? I'll buy that notion. That if you, hey, do the Cardinals know what they're going to do?
Probably not yet. They probably have an idea, but they're not sold.
Right.
They probably have an idea what they're going to do. I would think you should have an idea by now. Draft's in a month. You should have an idea what you're going to do. But you need to be sold. Or not sold. I mean, because that's what happens sometimes.
But I don't
too.
Think you can have that confirmation until you've had what's going on today.
Absolutely.
Today is the nail in the coffin, one way or another. Today is the final part of this.
Do they have to meet with Bosa before they determine? I think the part of it that's determined.
That's a good point.
I think the part of it that's determined, and I'm going to like partially agree with you here. The part that gets determined after today is whether they want Rosen or Murray to be their quarterback. That's the part that gets determined. Which one do you want to be their quarterback?
Okay.
I think that's okay.
That's a nice meet me in the middle kind of moment.
The rest of it,
right?
You still have the possibility to draft Bosa. You still have the possibility for a trade, which is the way I've been leaning all along, that they're going to make a blockbuster trade, that Murray's going to go, I always thought Haskins was going to go number one. Now I think I'd be almost foolish to say Haskins will be the top quarterback taken. The way everything's trending, I mean, it does look like Murray's going to be the top quarterback taken. I think he will go number one. The question is it to the Cardinals, or do they trade with somebody that comes up and gets Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray, during his pro day last week, the one not attended by the Cardinals, he was asked if
they weren't there?
I know, right? It was just an abomination. Murray from his pro day last week. Do you already know where you're going?
No, I don't. I wish I could tell you, but I don't.
Okay, not yet. No. Do you have any meetings set up with teams? I know a lot of times around the pro days, you have teams want to meet with you before or after. Have you had any meetings set up with teams? A
couple set up. Obviously, I don't gotta say any names, but
you're not gonna spoil them. Does it rhyme with Arizona Cardinals?
No.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals apparently had their meeting with Myler Murray today, and we'll find out if anything. But I think your compromise is a good one.
I think it's a fair one.
Do they know for sure they're going to take Kyler Murray number one overall? Not necessarily, but do they, after today's meeting, Steve Keim, I do think, is going to get on that plane, and he's going to know, yes, Kyler Murray needs to be our guy, or no, we're good with what we've got. And from there, you move on to stage two. Is Quinnen Williams going to be our guy? Is Nick Bosa going to be our guy? But if you get on that plane and Steve Keim looks at Cliff Kingsbury and Michael Bidwell and says, you know what? That's the kid we need. That's the kid we want. Then, you go down that path. Then, eventually, the rumors start emerging about a potential Josh Rosen trade. I'm curious to see when that day will be. All right? And I don't count what Charlie Casterly said a week ago.
Well, if you know you're going to take Murray, then you open it up for trades. Just open it up. Why wait? Open it up. We're taking Murray, because at that point, if you know you're taking Murray, there's no use hiding it. There's no smoke screen. There's no, if there's no way that you would trade that pick. If somebody comes up and says, well, if you're two first, two seconds, two thirds, I'm not taking that. I have to have Kyler Murray as my quarterback. Once you know that you're there, if that's possible, well, then by all means, you could chop Rosen and not feel bad that if it gets out that you're shopping him, that it's out. You know, and then you even talk to the kid. Listen, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to trade you. You know, I mean, I think you'd be fair to the kid so he doesn't read about it on social media or anything. You tell Rosen that we're going to draft Kyler Murray. We're going to move you to another team. But you go ahead, because there's no, like, if you've determined that you're taking Kyler Murray and that there's no offer out there that will make you not take him. Well, then you could stop. You could start shopping Rosen without worrying that it gets out,
mm-hmm.
without worrying that one of the teams you're speaking with leaks it to a reporter that they've had conversations with you about Josh Rosen.
We'll talk about Rosen in a little bit. But one thing that in your email to me this morning that really stood out, and I can't remember who it was who said it, but somebody basically said, look, if you look at that contract for Josh Rosen,
oh my God, it's
every
a steal and a half.
Team in the league should be calling about Josh Rosen.
$2 million, $2 million, $2 million. Like, there's no money.
Every team
there's no
should
money.
Be making a call to find out what it would take to get Josh
yes.
Rosen if he is indeed on the market. We don't know if he is or not.
It's there's no money in it. Like, you're going to pay a quarterback $2 million for the next 3 years. I mean, that's even if he's your backup, that's a steal.
Yes.
That's a steal for a backup. Backups get more than that. Backups get $3.5 million.
Let alone your
days.
Potential quarterback of the future.
Yeah,
right. So it could create quite a market, quite a bidding war, perhaps, for Josh Rosen when it's all said and done. Today's Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Aziz Ansari on March 26th at Comerica Theater. We're also going to throw in Peoria Sports Complex spring training tickets as well. Listen at 4:15. This afternoon for your chance to win. He was expected to hit his huge payday another season. Today, the Angels got a little proactive, and Mike Trout is getting paid. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. It is very hard to call the largest contract in professional sports history a quiet, off-the-radar, ninja-like move. But it was a very quiet, off-the-radar, ninja-like move by the LA Angels today. It came out of the thin blue sky, man. I mean, boom. It just dropped like a thunderbolt. The LA Angels are giving Mike Trout a 12-year deal worth $430 million. Bang!
I don't think Bryce Harper's crying right now because he got $330 million.
I don't think the ink is dry on Bryce Harper's deal yet, is it?
But Trout's the listen. This is the I'm so happy about this deal. He's the best player in baseball, has been for like almost all of his 7 year career. He deserves this contract. He's a great player, and everybody can sit there and nitpick. Oh, and he's never won in the playoff game, and he never go to the playoffs. Well, man, he's one guy. I mean, he doesn't pitch every fifth day. They've had a lot of problems with injuries with their pitchers, but he's a great player. You want to let him go? I know he's 2 years short of free agency, but locking this guy up now, and this is what we're seeing. Me and you have talked about this so many times. Get the deal done now. Don't wait for free agency. Trout didn't wait for free agency. He's getting it done right now. A record contract, over $100 million more than Bryce Harper got. And this guy's 27 years old, and he might end up being the best player in the history of baseball. He might. I mean, he's, what, one or two in the MVP voting every single year?
Pretty much.
Great defensively. So much better a ball player than Bryce Harper. It's not close.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's not close. You know, here's the other thing. And I put a picture up earlier on my Twitter page. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a jerk like Harper. Harper's a jerk. He's a jerk. Trout's like, he's a really, like, he loves his fans. He adores his fans. My kid loves Trout, right? He plays the same position in baseball. Loves him. My wife went to spring training the other day, took his friend Easton and him, took him out to the Angels, just spring training, by chance, just to see if they could see Trout. Came over, signed a ball, signed a card, gave the kids a high five. Like, the kids come home, they're in their glory, like, oh my God, I got a high five from Mike Trout, I got my card signed, I got my ball signed. He flipped them a ball too. Here's a baseball. Like, he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are a lot of guys out there that aren't good guys. So, like, to me, I root for people. I would root for Mike Trout. You know why? Because he's not a jerk like so many other guys are. He's a genuine good guy.
He and Harper have always basically been compared side by side almost from the minute both of them walked into a major league clubhouse, right? Who's better? Who would you rather have? Who's the guy you want to build an organization around? Blah, blah, blah. And throughout that whole process, throughout that whole thing, Mike Trout has just been better. He's just been better
yes.
than Bryce Harper. And so the way these contracts went down in some ways is a perfect reflection of these two guys and the careers they've had. Bryce Harper, all offseason, man, every single day, when is he going to sign? Where's he going to go? How much is he going to get? Who's bidding for him? It's a story, and it's a here, and this guy said, and that guy said. For 3 months, baseball was obsessed with where Bryce Harper was going to end up and how much he got. And when he got his contract, it was celebrated. It took Mike Trout about a week with a fraction, a minute fraction of the fanfare that Bryce Harper got this offseason to not only top what Bryce Harper got, but to do it by $100 million.
Clobbered it.
I mean, it's just like...
Clobbered it.
If there's everything you need to know about how Mike Trout has just been better at everything he's done than Bryce Harper, just look at these contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, we spent 3 months just, oh, what's Bryce Harper going to do? And in 1 week, Mike Trout went, yeah, I think I'll do a little bit better than that.
Now, people will say they've been to the playoffs once in 9 years, that the Angels have made mistakes on the Albert Pujols contract, and don't forget the Josh Hamilton contract. But it is the not winning is one of the things. But they have tried. Like they did go out and get Shohei Ohtani, right? Out of all the teams that would get Ohtani, they got Ohtani. They spent money on Justin Upton.
Sure.
So it's not like the Angels don't try to win. They try to win. It's not easy to win. It's hard to win.
No, they've been a little tied up with the Albert Pujols contract, obviously. They make a lot of money there. They've been really rebuilding their farm system the last couple of years and trying to work on that. It's hard to look at in baseball. I know we want to look at a superstar like Mike Trout and just think, well, you should be good enough to elevate everybody around you. But when you're one of nine guys that, when you bat four times a game, five times a game, right, as great defensively as he might be, you are just part of the equation. It's not like the NBA where you're one of five guys on the floor,
no.
You know, or the quarterback in the NFL where the ball touches your hand every single offensive play.
You can't
play.
Impact
you can't
the game from a wins
like
and losses
that.
Perspective, all by yourself. You need a team that has good pitching,
yep.
Good bullpen, guys that get on base for you to drive in runs. He's the best player in the game. There's no questions. There's no denying that. He chose to be an Angel. He believed in the franchise. He believed in what they sold him, and he chose to be an Angel. This is great for baseball that he didn't leave and go to the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox, that he stayed with the Angels. One playoff appearance in the last 9 years.
Yeah.
And he chose to stay there. Good.
It was a very similar reaction to when Arenado decided to stay with the Rockies. You know, good. This is how, and unfortunately, it's not the same gratification we're going to get here as Diamondback fans with Paul Goldschmidt. For reasons that we've all covered 100 times, we all know why Goldie's not here anymore. But in Colorado, they're grateful that their face of the franchise guy is going to be with the franchise forever. For lack of a better term, that Mike Trout, who's got no opt-outs in the deal, full no trade protection, he's going to be an Angel forever if both sides choose for it to happen. It's contractually, it's bound to happen. Jeff Passan on the Dan Le Batard show today, he's the one who broke the news, said the deal is good for both sides.
It's a good contract for both sides. And it's absurd to think that when an athlete is being paid more than any other athlete has been paid in history, and by a pretty substantial margin, you can say that it's a good contract for the team, but the numbers don't lie. The Angels TV contract is $3 billion, and Mike Trout is off to the greatest start of anybody in baseball history.
Let me explain New Jersey to you, because he grew up in New Jersey. So
I've been hoping somebody can explain New Jersey to me for four decades now. So please give your best
Jersey
stab at it.
New Jersey and Connecticut are kind of split between Boston and New York. Okay. Half the people that live in New Jersey are like New York fans. Half of them are like, you know, Boston fans or Philly fans. You could go either way. Like, cause right across the Delaware Bridge, you're in Delaware. You're in Philadelphia. You're right there. I mean, you're parts of New Jersey. You know, you could get to a Philly game a lot easier than you can get to a New York game. You can go see a Philly game. Trout grew up rooting for the Sixers and the Eagles. He was a Philadelphia fan. So when Harper said those things, it was a lot. It wasn't like, I want to get a great player to come here. It's like, come home. Like, this is your home. These are the teams you grew up rooting for. You're a New Jersey kid. It's why he got drafted so late, because there's snow on the ground in the East Coast. And here, everybody's playing baseball every day. You know, so that's why he fell so far in the first round of the draft, because it's just he's an East Coast guy. They don't play year-round. But being where he is, you know, you could go a couple different directions. He ended up being a Philadelphia fan, and that's why there was a lot of thought when Harper was saying those things that he might go back to his roots of going back to New Jersey and being a Philly guy.
The next superstar to get paid, maybe not Mike Trout money, but perhaps close to Bryce Harper money.
Is it over now? Arenado got paid? Machado got paid?
There's one more.
Who is it?
Mookie Betts. He's going to get paid. I don't know if he's going to get, he's not going to get $430 million paid. He might not get $300. He gets at least Arenado money, don't you think? At least Arenado money. Mookie Betts is good.
He's great, yeah.
He's a great baseball player.
He's a great player.
And he's young, and he's got lots of prime of his career left. And home for him is not Philadelphia. It's Nashville, Tennessee. So I guess Bryce Harper can't make a plug for him to go home. I know this.
But then that's it. There is nobody else that's in like that. Like Arenado, Machado, Harper, Trout. You throw Betts in there, we're done. I mean, we're done. All of the big stars have been paid now. I think there'll be a little bit of a hiatus on these contracts.
I'd have to look at it a little more, but I think you're probably right. I can't think of another name.
Other guys
name.
Are aging, like Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I can't think of another name that like springs to mind and says, that guy's got to get paid because he's the next young great
Aaron Judge
player in this game. Yeah, I'd have to. I'd really, before I say for sure, I'd have to look at it. But I think you're probably right. I think Betts gets paid, though. I think
he will.
He definitely gets paid. Even when he's not on the floor. Kelly Oubre, I should say, is showing why he's got tremendous value to the Phoenix Suns, and his future price tag is just going through the roof. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Sarah Cazell is standing by with our Twitter poll question of the day. The poll requires a little bit of a setup, which sometimes gets lost on social media, but there's a chance that sometime in the next couple of months, we could be adding to the family here in Valley Sports.
That is correct.
Kyler Murray and Zion Williamson. There's a chance, right?
Yes.
So,
which we talk about often on this show. We're aware of the scenarios.
Yeah,
here.
We understand this can go down. Yeah. So with that in mind,
yes,
understanding that's a possibility, and we're going to talk about this on the show a little bit later today. What is the poll question?
Yes,
today?
So understanding the simplicity of the poll question, that was intentional to all you haters out there.
Haters.
Haters. Oh, they are getting at me today. Here's the question. Which
trolls? Rise above, Sarah. Rise above the trolls.
Rise above.
There's a
not
lot of
today.
Them. Rise above it. They,
yeah, can't, you
they don't
know,
mean
yeah.
anything.
You get it the worst. All right. Which player duo has you more excited about the future of Phoenix sports? Simple enough. And the results are also quite simple, too. Very clear. 74% so far have said the combo of Zion and Kyler Murray have them the most stoked about the future here in Arizona. 26% went for DeAndre and Josh Rosen.
I thought it'd be higher.
You thought 80%, but it's close. It might end up being there.
It's close to 80%.
Do you remember how excited this Valley was with Ayton and Rosen?
Sure.
Rosen, they got a quarterback. He's going to be up. They're not going to have to draft a quarterback for the next 10 years. They're going to have a quarterback here for 15 years. DeAndre Ayton, first time in the history of the organization, they've had a center. Like, there was a lot of excitement. Remember when they won the draft lottery? Like, everybody went crazy. When the Suns won the draft lottery, you probably more than anybody.
I was very excited about it.
I mean, I couldn't get you off of that table you were dancing. And when you ripped your shirt off and started swinging it around.
Easy now.
That was Jordan Bird.
That was Jordan?
How dare you confuse
that? Who was
that?
It that jumped on a table and started to swing their shirt?
Never,
was it Jordan?
You know, now that I've lost all this weight on 3010, I might take off my shirt and wave it around like that. But I wouldn't have done it back then. It would not have been pretty.
It was like we won the actual lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, which we didn't. Which we didn't at all.
We did not.
Now a year later.
Zion and Murray are crushing them.
Looking ahead to what we could get as opposed to what we have. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
Now gets the ball to Levine. Levine, a long three-pointer is good.
Wow.
That hurt.
Yeah, last night hurt.
It was not bad news for the Bulls last night.
That was like watching a Suns game from mid-December. That was like watching a Suns game from early January. That was like watching a Suns game from back in the day when we were having daily debates about where's the effort, where's the want to.
Where's the beef?
Does Igor need to coach effort? Where's the desire? Where's the heart? Where's the this? Where's the that? You were at the game. I watched the game from home. Man, Tom Chambers.
I wanted to find something out for you. You wanted to know if Kelly Oubre, the injury to Kelly Oubre. It is a thumb injury. He would have played if that game had meaning. Like, so he could have played in that game if it was a meaningful game.
Okay, but don't make it sound like that's the reason why you went to the Suns game last night. You were going to go anyway. I didn't make you go to that game. Yeah, don't paint that picture.
No, I go. I go in the locker room. I talk to the players. I talk to coach after the game. I mean, I'm there to, you know, I'm there to work. But one of the things I found out is that, like, if that was a big game that Kelly could have played, but because of the injury and it's not being a big game, you know, they didn't want to push it. But he could have. Like, if it was a game where fighting for the eighth seed in a playoff spot, he would have played last night.
Have we gotten to the point where Kelly Oubre is so valuable to the bottom?
Yes.
That's a bad team they lost to last night.
Right.
That's a bad at home. That's a bad team at home that's got their own injury issues as well. You're going to tell me that Oubre is so valuable to the bottom line, you can't beat the Chicago Bulls at home without him?
Robin Lopez killed them last night. Killed them. DeAndre just couldn't. That little baby hook shot. When Robin Lopez gets the ball in a low block, he puts all his weight down. He's like he's squatting. And he lowers his butt right back towards you, and he gets super low, and then he catches the ball, so you can't move him. Like, you literally can't move him. And then he just puts a little baby hook up, and went. Robin Lopez was fantastic last night. By the way, the Suns almost traded for Robin Lopez. When Ryan McDonough was here, they were going to do a Robin Lopez for Tyson Chandler trade. But that would have prevented Rashawn Holmes from having any impact on this team. But they almost traded, and then now nobody knows this. But the Suns were working on a deal to send Tyson Chandler to Chicago for Robin Lopez. And then he would have came in here and been like the backup to DeAndre Ayton. Instead, they went with Rashawn Holmes. They just released Tyson for nothing. But they were looking at a deal that would have brought Robin Lopez back to the Phoenix Suns.
But then they were going to dock his pay for the broken glass.
They were. The door.
And so the whole deal got nixed. The glass on the door and that whole mess. Yeah. I don't know if Jordan can find it. That might be one of my top 15 favorite pieces of audio of all time. Where someone's doing an interview.
And you can hear
it. And in the background, you can hear the glass door shattering because Robin Lopez broke. Devin Booker after the game last night. It was tough not having Kelly Oubre out there.
It's tough. You know, he's that energy bunny for us. And, you know, he's a threat on the court that, you know, any team would miss if you didn't have him. So, you know, he's a big part of our team. But his health is more of a concern for me. So, you know, let's make sure he gets 100% before he gets back out there. Because we're going to need him in the long run.
And that's fine. I'm not.
Just pay the man his money.
Well, seriously, his price tag.
He's going to get $15 to $20 million a year. And it's just what it is, and you're going to have to pay him because he's very, very good. He's very good.
Do you remember back in the day when Steve Nash was winning MVPs?
Yes.
Right?
Two of them.
Part of the argument for why he should win the MVP was how the Suns would play without Steve Nash on the floor.
Yes, right? they didn't win.
And how discombobulated and lost and how they didn't win they looked when he was out there. I'm not saying Kelly Oubre is an MVP, and I'm certainly not saying he's Steve Nash. But Kelly Oubre's price tag might have just gone up based off of how they played without him compared to how they're playing with him. Because without him, you could find more energy out of a dead AA battery in a remote control than what the Phoenix Suns had last night. Tom Chambers, after the game, was just ripping the effort, ripping the energy level, and it was deserved. It was embarrassing how flat they were last night, and I can't believe that it's come to the point where you rely on Oubre so much that you can't even give more than that against the Bulls at home?
Look, here's what's going to happen in the offseason. They're gonna find a way to keep Kelly Oubre. They got to move either TJ Warren or Josh Jackson. I think that they should move Josh Jackson, but they might move both of them. Create some space. They're going to try to sign Tobias Harris, a good power forward. Now, you'll probably overpay for him, but he is a high-character guy that, you know, he's not a Trevor Ariza type. I mean, he is, you know, he's a good player. And you might have to overpay, but he can make shots. He's a high-volume guy. He's a high-character guy. I think they'll try for Tobias Harris so they get a legitimate power forward, take some of the pressure off of having four wings. You'll have another power forward to help DeAndre out down low, because how many points in the paint did they give up last night?
72.
Oh, my God. Every basket was in the damn 76. Paint.
76. I apologize. 76
points in the paint
to the Chicago
Every
Bulls.
Single basket was just like inside, inside, inside. It was embarrassing.
We didn't complete a couple.
I didn't even know what that was. It was so loud in here.
Play with this. So Alvin Gentry, I believe, is the one giving the interview, and that's when Robin Lopez smashes the glass door behind during the interview. One more time, please.
We didn't complete a couple.
I love Was that so long ago that Alvin was still here when that went down?
Wow.
Man, time is moving fast. I would have thought that was
8 years ago, huh?
That was 8 years ago.
It was 8 years ago.
The coach here. Goodness
Robin
gracious.
Lopez.
Oh, that's...
And then they just got to get a point guard. You know, maybe they get a John Morant in the draft, but he's not ready to start and play right now, so they'd have to get somebody else. But, you know, that's what they'll do. I mean, they got to keep Oubre. Like, you don't have a choice. Like, you can't let... Like, if they let him go, this fan base is going to erupt. Like, you can't get a player like that on a steal and then lose him. Like, you stole him. You stole Kelly Oubre. It's like stealing fizzy lifting drinks. You stole Kelly Oubre. You got him for nothing. Nothing. You gave up nothing. You get nothing. The Suns got Kelly Oubre. You got to keep him. You can't let him go a year later like he was a rental player for 3 months, 4 months. That'd be awful. Got to keep him.
Yeah, it was evidence last night. That's for sure.
Have to keep him.
If nothing else, the Suns solidified their position in the tankathon upside down standings.
They got the three game cushion over the Bulls now.
Yeah,
three games.
If nothing else, they accomplished that. But man, but I'm not about that anymore. Hey, that was a very discouraging night if you're a Suns fan.
I was there. It was not a good game. They were never really in the game.
Nasty.
Never in the game.
Tomorrow, we're going to be at the AT&T store, Tempe Marketplace, supporting Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, matching veterans with pets. Visit the events page
at
Arizona
Sports.
That's
awesome. How awesome is that?
You can learn much more about it by going to the events page at arizonasports.com. You'll get all the details. Everybody assumes that they're both going to be the top picks in their respective drafts. If they both end up in the Valley, what's it going to be like to have Kyler Murray and Zion Williamson in our own backyard? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. I mean, it's easy to see why 74% of the people who are responding on our Twitter poll are saying what they're saying.
They've seen a year already.
No, exactly. I mean, they've seen a year of what we've had, and they're probably far more intrigued by what's behind door number two than, you know, what they've seen. DeAndre Ayton and Josh Rosen.
I mean, okay, Ayton's been good. Like, anybody who says he hasn't is ridiculous. Is he perfect? No, but he needs somebody to get him the ball. They don't have that guy to get him the ball and get him easier shots and make him look good. By all measures, DeAndre Ayton has had a very, very good rookie season, especially compared to other centers that have entered as rookies. Very, very good. Every measure shows that he's been very good. There was a great piece on The Ringer, like a 10-minute piece on DeAndre Ayton's rookie season, and there's a lot more positives than there were negatives. Of course, there's negatives, but a lot more positives. Josh Rosen, he had no wide receivers. He had no offensive line. His head coach was terrible. His offensive coordinator was terrible. It's just David Johnson averaged 3.5 yards per carry. It was hard to judge Josh Rosen, but neither one of those guys like elevated their teams to great heights.
Right.
The Cardinals won 3 games and the Suns have 17 wins. So, oh, okay, we got those guys, but it didn't really mean anything. So that's why you're right. What's behind door number two is more intriguing because what's behind door number one, you saw it. It was decent. It was okay. It wasn't great.
And my apologies if you're just tuning in and you don't know what we're talking about. We put a poll question up there, and you brought up the point today when we were emailing each other about what we were going to talk about, that, hey, we've got a chance as a sports community, we've got a chance in the next couple of months to add Kyler Murray and Zion Williamson into our sports family around here, right? Exciting times, potentially. With the Cardinals with the number one pick, the Suns potentially with the number one pick. I know the conspiracy theorists will say the Suns can't get it, and I probably agree that they're not going to get it, but they could. They have just as good a chance as anybody else of getting the number one pick. How does the excitement of that compare to where we were a year ago when I was jumping on the table because the Suns got the number one pick? And when I wasn't quite as excited about the Josh Rosen trade, but I was pretty fired up that night sitting here during our NFL draft show when the Cardinals moved up to number 10. The excitement of adding Rosen and Ayton, would you be more excited about adding Kyler Murray and Zion Williamson?
I'm going to go back, and I think I'm going to be in a minority here. I think people were more excited last year. I think they were. I think they were more excited last year.
Than they would be with these two guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Zion has your case.
I'm curious to hear this.
Well, Zion has more fanfare, right? There's more hype on Zion. There's more hype on Murray. I'm not denying that. Okay. There's more hype on both of those guys. I'm not denying it. DeAndre Ayton was a center. A center. They had never had one. We made fun of all the centers they had. Jake Voskuhl and Jake Sokolidis and Horacio Yamas. And like, we literally made fun of every center they had. And they were going to get a center for the first time. We knew, I knew, the second they won the draft lottery, who they would take. And I said, and I put it out there, and somebody said, are you guessing? I'm like, I don't guess. This isn't a guess. They're taking DeAndre Ayton. Like, and there was some debate, you know, with Ayton and Doncic, but all along we knew, me and you, we knew that they were taking DeAndre Ayton. They were finally getting a center, something the organization's never had. Now, Zion has more hype, I agree. But DeAndre was something this organization's never had, so I think people were more excited about that. They got the number one pick. It was a struggle to get the number one pick, right? It was a hard-fought struggle to get the number one pick,
for
and
the
they
Suns?
Got it.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, the draft lottery was one of the best days of people's lives
I lost my mind the minute.
You're not the only
when
one.
When the ping-pong balls came up, I mean, we made a promo about it for 3 weeks that we were running nonstop around here with me just shouting yes, 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 because they got the number one pick. I was that. And I'm still excited about what they have in DeAndre Ayton. I still think DeAndre Ayton is a foundational piece moving forward. They just need to get better, more integral pieces around him to get him more involved, to bring out everything he can be. But man, Zion Williamson, I mean, you start hearing what some people are saying about him. Mike DeCourcy, longtime college basketball writer, was on Doug and Wolf this morning. He says there's no comp for Zion Williamson.
No, he doesn't.
Wow.
And I, as a matter of fact, I wrote a column. You can find it on sportingnews.com or do a Google or whatever about how, you know, basically the headline was quit the comparisons. If you Google that with Zion's name in it in mind, you should find the column pretty easily.
Okay.
There's never been a player anywhere like him. And that's not, you know, when I said that in a tweet, people were like, well, that he's not the best. And I'm like, no, that's not about best. It's about unique. There's never been a player like this.
Seth Greenberg on ESPN called him the best.
I think he's going to be a really good pro. He's going to be number one pick. They're going to be dudes his size. Now, maybe not with his second jump. Maybe not with his physical strength. You're talking about 100 games that he's going to have to play.
Mm-hmm.
How does that body deal with playing 100 games? But on the college level, against college athletes and college bodies, he's the best player in college basketball I've seen. And you know what? I'm a fossil.
I'm a fossil.
I'm an old man, and he's the best college basketball. Look,
so that's okay. So finish your point on the basketball players, and we'll go to football.
Okay, so, well, the way I look at it, this was the point I was going to make. The way I look at it is if I'm comparing Rosen and Ayton to Murray and Zion Williamson, all right? I think the reason why most people are going to say Zion Williamson and Kyler Murray, number one, is because of the newness of those guys, right? We haven't had the year exposure to them. And number two, I think the hype on Zion Williamson is 10 times what the hype was on DeAndre Ayton a year ago. 10 times.
Yeah,
I mean,
he plays for Duke.
He is a YouTube sensation. He is a freak of nature.
Did somebody say he'd be the heaviest player in the NBA? Did I hear that today? He'd be the heaviest player in the NBA right now.
I did not. I don't know that. But that's what I
think I heard somebody say that on one of our shows.
So for him to be that athletic and to be that, I think it's the Zion Williamson factor that tips the scales in favor of people wanting to choose Zion and Kyler over Rosen. Hey, look, Ayton's been off to a fine start so far. Rosen, we have no idea. Murray, we have no idea. But Zion Williamson, he's got that LeBron kind of, oh my God, look at him kind of thing that dwarfs our feelings about DeAndre Ayton from a year ago. And that's why I think most people would pick the second group and not the first
group. Okay, let's go to the quarterbacks. Where the Cardinals were picking, they were in a tough spot to get one of those top guys. Now, we knew they didn't like Lamar Jackson, and we knew they liked Rosen, but the feeling was where they were picking, they weren't going to be able to get one of those top guys, that those guys would all be off the board. They were able to move up. Now, I knew the only quarterback that they really felt they had a shot at getting was Rosen. But I did not believe, based on what I was told, that they would move up to get him. But moving up, a lot of that, I thought they'd have to move up to 5 or 6 or 7 to get Rosen. When the 10th pick came around, they were able to not give up that much and move up, so it made sense for them to do it. When they got Rosen, this was the first time that they got themselves a franchise. The feeling was they got themselves a franchise quarterback. They got themselves one of the marquee quarterbacks in this entire draft. They had Rosen rated second on their draft board, second behind Baker Mayfield, but ahead of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold. So when they got him, we all talked about it. They've got a quarterback for the next 15 years. They've got a franchise quarterback. They got their guy. Like it was a win. It was a win-win. We understood that it might take some time for him to develop, and he might take some lumps. But the feeling was that they finally got it right. After all the years of drafting, we talked for months about this, drafting quarterbacks with the 5th-round pick and a 6th-round pick and a 7th-round pick and Logan Thomas and guys like that, they finally went after a quarterback in the first round and got one.
And there was excitement because of that.
A lot of excitement.
Yeah, a ton. And there still is. Speaking of Josh Rosen, the speculation around a trade of Josh Rosen has gotten to the point that some think it's a foregone conclusion. Like, it's going to happen. We don't know that for sure. Is there going to be a level of disappointment if he's the starting quarterback for the Cardinals in week 1 of the 2019 season? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.